The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency. Here's your host, Art Silva.
Good morning, Siouxland. I'm Art Silva, and welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is dedicated to your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. We hope to educate and motivate you to help improve your mental wellness environment. Our show is brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency serving the Siouxland community. Our topic today is active parenting. And joining me is Brenda Geisinger, Chief Operating Officer of Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, and licensed therapist Stacy Modell Norton. Good morning, Brenda and Stacy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to have you here. And before we get going, why don't we start off with Stacy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am a therapist at Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, and I've been with the agency for 36 years. I have my master's, my license, and I work with children, adolescents, adults, and families.
That's a full plate. And speaking of a full plate, Brenda, you're chief cook, bottle washer, everything at the agency, so you can give us a little bit of your background.
I've been with the agency for 33 years, and I oversee the day-to-day operations for the residential inpatient program, the school program, and also the outpatient therapy program.
And that's a full plate. So as you can see, we kind of got all the bases covered here with these two ladies. So we're going to hopefully have a great show and educate you and share some information with you on active parenting. So when I saw this title, active parenting, I thought, this like driving your kids to soccer and, you know, Little League and all that stuff. And it's not that. But Stacy, let's frame our topic. What do you mean by active parenting?
Well, active parenting, it's a six-week parenting course that kind of gives parents a foundation to work on as far as parenting. And the principle of it is to protect and prepare our children to survive and thrive in a democratic society in which we live.
Which means you have to take an active part.
Yes.
You know, okay, and the correct way of taking an active part.
Correct.
So, okay, I get it. So let's describe the parenting scene today. What is it like today?
It's different, of course, than when we grew up. I think the biggest probably difference is technology, that kids, as parents, we really have to be aware of that and be able to supervise and know what the kids are getting into.
We're getting some feedback right now on some applications out there that are not necessarily in the child's best interest. So I hear that technology and the parents, how many times do your parents say, oh, I'm old school, I don't know any of that stuff. And the kids are really working at an advantage.
Yes, they're savvy to it. And they sometimes by accident get into things that they're not ready to get into.
Well, speaking to that, what age group are we going to focus on when you, in terms of parenting? What are we looking at?
Well, what we're going to focus on is the beginning of the 5 to 12-year-olds, although there is a program for parenting adolescents.
Okay. Brenda, did you have any experience in this area?
I think my whole 33 years of working at the Boys and Girls Home, but I've also had personal experience raising my own three kids. I think one of the things is there's no book how to be a parent, but we can all go and learn how to be better parents, whether it's talking to other parents, going to a therapist and learning new skills, reading, just to learn how to improve our skills and our techniques and how to be an active parent.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was parenting, let me correct that, because my mother corrected me. I thought when my kids were 18, 21, and gone, that I was done parenting.
Nope.
And my mom said, you're never done parenting. You're going to be parenting for a while. But when you kind of take a look at it, the kids go through a wide spectrum of emotions and growth in that 5 to 12 grade range. And in doing so, a lot of pressures. And how can parents help? Parents should be viewed as a help and not a detriment.
Yes. I think it's really important to look at your parenting style. The active parenting style is where you give your child freedom within expanding limits. So when they're little, you have to give them maybe two choices of something. As they get older and they become more responsible and you can give them different limits. Let's say driving a car, for example. When they first start, they drive to school and they come home. And as time goes on and you learn that your child is being responsible, then you can expand that.
Well, let's talk about the importance of communication in active parenting.
It's really important to begin forming a relationship with your child early on and showing mutual respect. And one of the things I think about is you have to have respect in order to get it. And then sometimes kids who don't feel respected will in turn become disrespectful. So getting that established and listening to your kids, sometimes, you know, words, they can say one thing, but with their tone of voice and their body language, they can show you that something's not right. So to be attuned to that and be able to say, well, it sounds like maybe you're feeling sad.
I'm Art Silver, and you're listening to When Things Aren't Going Well. And with me today from Family Services is Brenda Geisinger and Stacy Modell Norton. And we are discussing active parenting. And our last question was the importance of communication. Well, let's go forward to that. How do we communicate?
I think one of the key things is using I messages. You know, I feel...
A stink eye?
I got that one. Stink eye. But learning how to say those phrases, also, you know, communicating the please and the thank yous when you're making requests. Can you please do this? And when they have complied with a directive or an ask, you say thank you, using basic manners and just showing respect. They may be your child, but they're still a person, and building that bond and connection out of respect and support. It doesn't always have to be the no message. You know, they always say you should say 5 positives to every negative, and to really have that as a foundation in your relationship.
Yeah, I agree with you, Brenda. That's really important to have respect in a dialogue with your child and give them a voice. Even though we're the parent and we'll make the final decision, kids like knowing that they have a voice in the family and that they're heard and respected.
Well, communication has to be the first step, I would think, in terms to get to cooperation. And let's talk about cooperation with your kids in terms of active parenting. What can you do to improve the cooperation?
I think it's always common, you know, for a parent to say, I need you to do this. And the kid will say, well, why? And then the parent says, because I said. You know, we've all done it. And it's okay to say that, but kids want to know why. What is the reason I need to do this? What is this teaching me? What's the purpose? You know, making my bed seems kind of foolish, or doing the dishes because they're just going to get dirty again. But having them understand it's about cleanliness, it's about responsibility, it's about taking care of what's around you. And it's okay to explain those kids, because sometimes they just don't know.
How do you gain cooperation? You know, as kids grow older, and I've always, I've always felt for the middle school teachers, because that seems to be where everything changes. As the kids grow older and they change, how do we maintain that cooperation with them?
Well, I think what Brenda said is a really good point. And then for kids to know that we are a team, we're a family, we work together. And I think if they have that feeling, that they're more apt to cooperate and understand that, you know, if I don't do my part, then mom and dad are more stressed, and it's important to contribute to our family.
I was talking with someone yesterday, and she was telling me that when her kids, she worked on Saturdays, and she worked till around 3 o'clock, and she said, when I got home, I'd find the house all clean. They would do everything. because they wanted me to take them to the movies. And they knew I just took away, I just took the excuse out. I have to come and clean it. Oh, it's all done, Mom. Let's go. So I think working together, common goals, some common time. And of course, on our previous shows, we've always talked about the importance of a routine. So getting into this routine where maybe it's mealtime where you do your communication. What's the communication part of the day with your kids? How has this changed a lot? So there's a lot more we can talk about, I think, on the communication side that results in cooperation. And we'll do that because we're coming up on our break right now. So everybody continue your morning chill. We'll be right back with When Things Aren't Going Well right here on 1360 94.9 FM KSCJ.
Let's face it, that happens to all of us. However, the pandemic has compounded all of our lives and activities. Even the simplest tasks seem harder. Hi, I'm Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at the Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Family Services is a United Way partner agency serving children and families of our community, and we're here to help. If you'd like to learn more about Family Services, please contact us via email, website, Facebook, or phone Mary Pickens. At Family Services, we change lives.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well. I'm Art Silva along with Brenda Geisinger and Stacy Modell Norton from Family Services. And we're talking today about active parenting. So let's continue our discussion. And when we left off, we're talking about communication and cooperation. So when things don't go that well, how can you take a discouragement and turn it into encouragement?
And that's one of the principles of this active parenting. So some of the ways that kids can feel discouraged by parents is if parents focus on mistakes, where kids are continually being told what they're doing wrong. How to turn that around for parents is building on their strengths, to look at what they're doing right and to thank them for that and to encourage them to keep that up. Another one is expecting too little from kids. Then they don't have their self-esteem is compromised with that. So what parents can do then is show confidence in your kids. You can do it. How can I, you know, communicate? What are some of the things that you're worried about? And let's look at how you can maybe find solutions to that. Expecting too much from kids. Sometimes kids are put in situations where parents just assume that they know how to do things they're not ready to do yet. So valuing the child as they are. And one of the, sometimes kids with special needs, sometimes they need like specific directions, one thing at a time. So sometimes they can feel just overwhelmed if they're expected to like clean your room. That's too much. So you just understanding how your child thinks and where they're at developmentally.
Here's how I think. When I was told to clean my room, I had the cleanest room. Just don't go in my closet. That's all. Kids figure this stuff out. But then where you go next to the closet. So, but yeah, this is normal. This is just normal.
Right. Or under the bed.
Yeah, under the bed. Yeah.
Yes. And then the last thing, kids feel discouraged if they're overprotected. And they get pampered too much. So the way parents can turn that into encouraging is stimulating their independence, to believe in them and give them opportunities to show that they can be responsible and trusted with things.
I would probably have and this would probably be sexist in saying this, but I think I was a little more overprotective of my daughter than my son in terms of activities. And that's not right. I think you got to stretch, and you get to that point where you say, okay, this is the time frame, these are the parameters, and they work within them. But you always get a surprise every now and then. So how do you come back from that? You just don't want to let the kid feel like they failed completely. They may have had a mess up or things didn't go well here, but how do you kind of come back from that and get them refocused and really feeling good about themselves again?
Yeah, well, in the situation you're talking about, I'm sure your daughter felt like that's not fair. But her thought might be then, well, Dad doesn't believe in me. Dad doesn't trust that. But for you, it was safety. So even
exactly.
Communicating that
always
to the
safety.
Child. Yeah, and then, you know, being aware of it and maybe having a different balance where, you know, you're daughter does have privileges and is able to go out, you knowing, though, that, you know, there's some safety nets there for her.
Well, you mentioned earlier, Stacey, the importance of self-esteem. So let's talk about courage and self-esteem. They go hand in hand.
Yes, and one thing I want to say about that, yes, is kids, we need to realize that their prefrontal lobe isn't fully developed as they're going through childhood and adolescence. In other words, their ability to think ahead and make decisions, it's developing. And they say it doesn't develop fully until you're 25. So I think for parents, one way that you can really help kids is to prepare them for situations they might get into and role play and help them be able to kind of have a script of how they would handle things based on their values and the values of the family.
I think another example in terms of building that self-confidence and esteem is, for example, if someone is involved in a sport and they make a shot on a basketball court and they miss, you compliment that they've tried and they're out there and they're doing their best versus why'd you miss the shot? Acknowledging the effort and acknowledging the chances that they're taking, that in itself is a huge thing. And the more they feel sure that it's okay, I'm trying and I'm putting forth effort, builds a lot with a child. Whether it's a sport, doing homework, or just having fun and playing. You know, when you're building the Lego tower and it falls over, everybody's like, oh, you lost. But the fact that they're playing and enjoying themselves is great, and embrace that.
Well, we all know from one of the issues we deal a lot with our young people is self-esteem. And that self-esteem has been affected many, many ways. But it starts back with the respect and with the fact that we can build this back. So, and we've all been in the situation where maybe a child didn't do exactly what we wanted them to do. So how do we understand and redirect misbehavior?
Well, it's kind of a process. With misbehaviors, like Brenda said, sometimes you can use a statement that please do this, or and then the I message. That's where you start. And then sometimes parents have to give consequences. Now, there's natural consequences for kids and there's logical. Parents need to give logical, that the consequence fits what they've done. You know, maybe if they're getting up late for school every morning, the consequence might be they go to bed 15 minutes early the next night. That's a logical consequence. Natural consequence would be, let's say your son had a bike and you got your son a lock, told him to make sure it's locked when he rides the bike to school. He doesn't do it and his bike gets stolen. That's a natural consequence that sometimes kids just learn.
Tough way to learn, yeah, but that's very true. You know, I think that's how life works, though. You do things right, you get rewards, and you do things wrong, there's consequences for those things. So,
yes.
I mean, so it's not bad to start that process early. This is how it works.
Right, and that's what we're trying to teach our kids, because they have to go out into our democratic society, and we want them to be able to make good choices and to thrive when they go out.
Well, this has certainly been a good discussion we've had today, and we're coming up on the end of our show for this week. And we want to leave you with a little humor for your mental wellness. So since we're on the topics of parenting, let's try to do a little parent joke today. So I don't know if you guys ever thought about this, but I wonder what my parents did to fight boredom before the internet. I asked my 18 brothers and sisters, and they didn't know either. Thank you, Brenda Stacy, for joining us today and sharing your expertise. Also, thank you to our listening audience. I want to give a shout-out to a great organization, and that was over at Premier Bank Card. And I want to give Matt Crawler a shout-out. What a great organization they got over there. They've been longtime supporters of Boys and Girls Home. Great team, and a great credit to this community on what they do. So I really want to give them a good shout-out for that. We'll be back next Saturday morning right here in 1360 KSCJ. But in the interim, we're looking to grow our family. So looking for a change? Check out the employment opportunities at our website on hr@bghome.net or call 293-4700 and ask for the HR department. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on 1360 AM 94.9 FM KSCJ. And our topic will be celebrating helpers. March is going to be Social Worker Month. So we'll share that with you. Please don't forget to do your homework this week and go out and have a good laugh. It's good for the soul. Have a great week and may the sun shine on you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
For more information on the services provided by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, see them online at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org. Or you can call 712-293-4700. To get more information about family services, residential treatment, the Opportunity School, the Siouxland Family Center, and more. At Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, we change lives.